You can be turning to Matthew chapter number 7. And while you're turning there, I want to remind you that in this series of messages that I've been preaching entitled, God Bless You, we've been discovering that it is indeed the blessing of God that makes us rich. As a matter of fact, Proverbs 10:22 tells us that it's the blessing of the Lord that makes us wealthy and indeed that makes us rich. And I don't know about you, but I want God's blessings on my life, and I so desire that for you as well. So we've been learning a little bit about the blessings of the Lord, and we've been spending some time in previous messages looking at the areas of God's blessings, and that is we've discovered that God blesses us culturally, blesses nations and people groups. We've discovered that God blesses us materially, and with material provision, that God blesses us relationally, that is the relationships that we have as a family and friends and church family. God blesses our relationships. And we discover that God blesses us directionally, and that is that He provides a purpose and direction for our life so that we can walk right in the center of His will and experience even more blessings. And we discover that God has blessed us with spiritual blessings. As a matter of fact, we spent most of our time dealing with the areas of God's blessings, just looking at all the spiritual blessings that are ours, that is those of us who are in Christ, those who have been born again that are in Christ, that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, Ephesians 1:3, and we spent some time in Ephesians chapter 1 and also in chapter number 2 and 3 looking at some of the spiritual blessings that we have because we are in Christ. So I've been dealing over the past two or three services with what I've called the avenues of God's blessings. That is, we looked at the areas of God's blessings, but now we're taking a look at the avenues of God's blessings. That is, ladies and gentlemen, while it is true that all of God's creation experiences a measure of God's blessings, it is also true that there are the maximum blessings of God are for those who are in Christ. And that is, you got to get on the right road if you want to experience all that God has for you. All the blessings that He has intended for your life, you've got to get on the right avenue. That is, you've got to be going down the right road. Some of you were here last Wednesday night, a week ago, when I said to you from Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, that if you and I are going to get on the right avenue, then it is the avenue of salvation. That is, if you want God to experience the maximum blessings of God upon your life, then it begins with salvation. That is, you've got to get on what is described in verses 13 and 14 as the narrow avenue or the narrow road or the narrow path. You've got to get off the wide path. That is, off the wide road, and he got across through the straight gate onto the narrow path. The reason why that the road that leads to destruction is wide, the reason why is because all of humanity is on that road. And that is that Adam stepped onto that road when he sinned against God, and all of humanity is on the wide road headed to destruction. But listen to me now, there are some that God has dealt with. He's worked in their hearts, revealed to them their sinfulness, and brought them to the cross, and they exited the wide road, and they turned to Christ, and they got on the narrow road. It's the avenue of salvation. And listen, some of you are on that same road. Many of you, maybe most of you, have gotten on the avenue of salvation. That is, you know you're saved, and you remember when the Lord saved you, changed your life, made you a new creature, and changed the avenue that you're on in life. And if you're going to be able to experience all the blessings of God that He has intended for you, that's the avenue you have to get on, the avenue of salvation. Now listen, if you're saved and you're traveling down Salvation's Avenue now that you've been born again, there's some other roads off of Salvation Avenue that lead to even more blessings in your life. And that is, I preached about one of them this past Lord's Day, and that is, I talked to you about the avenue of humility. We discovered it from the example of our Lord whenever He washed the feet of the disciples in John chapter number 13, and then He turned to them and said, do you know what I've done to you? Do you understand what I have done to you? I've set an example for you, and if you know these things that I've been teaching you, and if you'll do them, that is, if you'll humble yourself and serve one another, then the Bible says, happy are ye, blessed are ye, if you do them. If you want to be blessed, then, ladies and gentlemen, you and I have got to get on the avenue of humility. I spent some time this past Lord's Day just describing where it is that pride leads to. If you go down the road of pride, I describe, ladies and gentlemen, where it leads to. And also, if you get on the road of humility, where humility can lead to in your life. If you want to be blessed, and I know that you do, if you've been saved by the grace of God, then you and I need to learn what it means to live humbly before God. And that is the avenue of humility. So I want to preach to you about another little avenue. That is, if you're on Salvation's Avenue, you might notice as you're traveling down Salvation Avenue, you might notice, ladies and gentlemen, that when you get past Humility Avenue, there's another avenue real close by, and it's the avenue of prayer. As a matter of fact, humility and prayer seem to be going together really close to one another. And that is, when you get on the avenue of humility, oftentimes you'll find yourself traveling down before long the avenue of prayer. As a matter of fact, if you're traveling down the avenue of humility, you might notice that it just sort of runs right into the avenue of prayer. If you want to listen, if you want to experience the blessings of God upon your life, this is the avenue you have to get on. Hey, we all remember 2 Chronicles 7:14, where the Bible says, if my people which are called by my name, if they'll humble themselves, and then the next one is, and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God said, I'll hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. And we remember the context of that verse, and that is, it was to Solomon that these words were spoken, and that is after the dedication of the temple and the glory of God showed up, and God spoke to Solomon. He said, Solomon, there may come a day when the Israelites will turn away from me, and when they turn away from me, I might send the locust and the pestilence and withhold the rain, and things might get real bad. No blessings in Israel, but the blessings are all dried up. But listen, if that ever happens, all you got to do, if my people, if they're called by my name, if they will just humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, I'll hear their prayers. And I'm going to, listen, I'll hear their prayers and I will heal their land. In other words, I'll send the rain. I'll take away the locusts and the pestilence, and blessings will flow once again. Listen, that promise was to Israel, but it's a principle that we can apply to our lives as well. And that is, ladies and gentlemen, if you and I are going to experience the blessings of God, that is the blessings that He has for us, then listen to me now, we got to get on the avenue of prayer. Let me just say to you that there are some things that God wants to bless you with that you will not receive if you don't pray. As James said, he said one time, he said, the reason why you don't have, you have not, because you ask not. And that is, God has some blessings for you, but He not only has designed the blessings, but He's designed the means by which He wants you to receive those blessings. And listen to me now, one of those means is indeed prayer. That is, by getting alone with God and spending time alone with Him in prayer. Now, you know, when I'm talking about prayer, I'm not talking about just saying some prayers like some might refer to, but I'm talking about you getting in the presence of God and walking with God in prayer. Now, if you found your place in Matthew 7, there's a passage of Scripture. Our Lord is speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, and He gets to talking about prayer. And it's obvious from this section in Matthew 7, beginning of verse number 7, that there's some things that God wants to give us. There's some things that God wants to open up to us. And the only way it's going to happen is if you and I get alone with God and start walking with Him in prayer. Listen to what He says in verse number 7. Our Lord is speaking now in His Sermon on the Mount, and He said, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Who receives? Those who ask. And he that seeketh, findeth. Who finds? The seeker. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. I love this passage of Scripture, don't you? And the reason why is because our Lord is swinging back around and talking about prayer once again. If you were to just start reading the Sermon on the Mount, beginning in chapter number 5 of the Gospel of Matthew, you'll find out that our Lord spoke a lot about prayer. Back in chapter number 6, our Lord compares the phony model of the Pharisees with those who are in His kingdom, that is, the hypocrites who wanted to pray in public so everybody could see them. And He told them, His disciples, that is, when you pray, you enter into a secret closet and you pray in private and secret, and God will hear and reward you openly. And then our Lord taught them how to pray by giving them a model prayer in chapter number 6. It's a model prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You remember that prayer. It's not a prayer that was given to us just to repeat, but it is a prayer that is given to us as a pattern so that you and I can know how to pray and what it is that we ought to be doing whenever we get alone with God and whenever we pray. And so in chapter number 6, in this Sermon on the Mount, our Lord has been talking about prayer, and now he's talking about it once again as he gets near the end of this message in chapter number 7. I'm starting to get the impression that in the kingdom of Christ, prayer is very important. And ladies and gentlemen, it really is. If you're part of the kingdom, if you've been born again, then it's so important for you to learn how to walk with God in prayer. And that's what our Lord is emphasizing. Those who are genuine followers of Christ, hey, we need to walk with God in prayer. And praying seems to be one of the things that characterizes those who really are a part of his kingdom. So our Lord wants to say some things to us about our prayer lives. Now listen, if there's one area of our life that we need to be encouraged in, challenged in, and God to deal with us about, it is our prayer lives. It is our personal walk with God. We need to listen closely what our Lord has to say here about our prayer lives. Because we got to get on this avenue if we're going to be able to receive all the blessings that God wants. There's some things that you're not going to receive if you don't pray. There are some things that aren't going to happen if you don't pray. You say, Pastor, I believe that God is so sovereign that God does whatever God wants to do no matter what. But listen to me now. And I believe the sovereignty of God, but also when I'm reading the Bible, I begin to find out that there are some things that sovereign God wants to give us, that he has sovereignly chosen the means by which he's going to give it. And if you and I don't get in the right means, when we don't get what God wants us to have. And that means is prayer. You might have noticed that Jesus uses three words here in verse 7 to describe the kind of praying that he's referring to. The first word is the word ask. It is the word ask, and it shall be given to you. Listen, whenever the word ask is the idea that there's something that I need, it implies that I need something. That I've realized is an area of my life in which I have a need, and a need that I cannot meet for myself. And I need help. That is to be able to meet that need in my life. And so I ask. I don't know how you are, but I don't like asking for anything. And I'm a little bit stubborn and a little bit independent when it comes to that. And usually I'll do whatever I can for as long as I can. Until I run out of ideas or run out of resources or I mess it up completely, and then I get into a position where I have to ask. That is, it might be that I'm sick and I've done everything I know to do and I'm not getting any better and I have to ask the doctor for some help. It might be that my car is not running right and I went out there and looked at it tapped on it and talked to it and prayed over it and everything else and it's still not running any better. And so I've got to ask somebody who knows how to work on cars to fix my vehicle. Now I could keep going on and on, but you get the idea. Those, ladies and gentlemen, who are part of Christ's kingdom are those who realize that I need something that I don't have the resources to provide myself. Now that's not hard for us to know, and the reason why is because that's how you get into the kingdom in the first place, and that is those who've been born again are those who've come to the realization that they're lost and they're helpless and they can't do anything to save themselves, and they desperately need God to save them. And so they ask, and they're not asking just to repeat a prayer. They're asking out of a deep sense of the fact that I need God to save me and I can't save myself. We're brought to that point whenever we get saved of realizing that we have a need that we cannot meet. And that is, Jesus has been preaching about this, by the way, in the Sermon on the Mount. And that is back in chapter number 5. He said something like this in verse 20. He said, listen, if you don't have a righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, then you cannot enter into my kingdom. And then he says at the end of chapter number 5, he says, you got to be perfect even as I am perfect. So he's saying, listen, what you need to enter into my kingdom is a perfect righteousness. And listen, in the same chapter, he's been revealing to them that you may not be a murderer, but if you hate your brother without a cause, you're just as guilty. And you may not have committed adultery, but if you looked at somebody and lusted after them, then you're just as guilty. And I could keep going on and on, but he's revealing to everybody how sinful and corrupt we are. And then he tells us, you you can't be a part of my kingdom unless you have a perfect righteousness. And he does all of that so that everyone will know that, listen to, I need help. I can't become a part of the kingdom. That is, I can't work my way into the kingdom, and there's nothing I can do to enter into the kingdom. Hey, the only way that I can enter into the kingdom is if he gives me his righteousness. I need him. That is, I need something I can't provide for myself. It's called salvation. I need to be saved from this sinful condition that I am in. I need righteousness. You say, Pastor, what do I need to do to get it? Hey, you need to ask. That is, bow your heart before him and ask. Lord, I'm lost and without you and unsaved and undone, and I can't do anything to save myself. And when he brings you to the point, ladies and gentlemen, that your heart is asking, it's just about over. I'm not talking about just your mouth repeating words, but I'm talking about your heart crying out. And well, after we're saved, we continue to become aware of needs in our life, don't we? That is, after you get saved, you continue to become aware of needs that you and I are helpless to provide, and we have to ask God for. Whenever Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray, one of the things he told them back in chapter 6 and verse number 11 is that one of the things you need to pray for are your daily needs. And that is, pray something like this, and that is, give us this day our daily bread. God, we need you to just meet our basic needs. Not only that, but something else that we need to ask God for is forgiveness. The Bible says in chapter 6 and verse number 12 that we need to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We need to ask God for leadership, verse number 13 of chapter number 6, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We need to pray for God's leadership, and we need to pray for God's deliverance. Hey, did you know we need to pray for wisdom? James tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally. I need that kind of wisdom. Matthew tells us in chapter number 21 and verse number 18. Matthew 21 and verse number 18, the Bible says, in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered, Jesus did. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and he found nothing thereon and leaves only. He said to it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently, that is, the fig tree withered away. Jesus cursed the fig tree, had no figs on it, and it withered away, the Bible says. And when the disciples saw it, that is, the next day, the other gospel writers said, they saw the fig tree dried up. It wasn't dried up like it was dying. It was dried up from the roots like it had been dead for years. And Jesus just cursed it the day before. When they saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? And Jesus answered, and here's what he said. Listen to verse 21. Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if thou say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Now what is Jesus talking about here? The next verse clarifies, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. He's talking about praying. And that is, great things start happening when God's people start praying. He said, if you think the cursing and the withering of the fig tree is something big, then you just get to praying and see what God does. Just believing that God is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and you start praying and God will start moving. And ladies and gentlemen, he does. There are some things God wants to do. Listen, there are some great things God wants to do in your life. Mountain-moving things. But if you're going to receive everything God wants to do, then you have to pray. Now, when Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room, right before he was arrested, he tried to communicate that to them. Here's what he said in John 14 and verse 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. God is saying, Jesus is saying this, and God wants to do some great and glorious things, and the means that he's going to do it is if you pray. Pray in my name and God will do great and glorious things. What I'm trying to describe to you, ladies and gentlemen, is the fact that you and I need to start doing some asking. That is, some praying. And so that we can receive what it is that God wants for us. The first word is the word ask. The second word that is used here in Matthew 7 is the word seek. It is the word seek. Seek and you will find. Now listen, seeking is something that you and I are searching for. Asking is a word that describes that you and I are asking for something that we're in need of. Seeking seems to be that you and I are searching for something. That is, there's something we're searching for. The idea of seeking seems to be a little more intense than asking. It seems to be referring to the idea, ladies and gentlemen, of looking for something that is hard to find. Maybe even something that is hidden from us. Something hidden from our senses. In other words, it may be something that we can't see. It may be something that we cannot touch. It's out of sight. It is beyond our immediate senses that we are looking for. Well, listen to me now. There are some important things that are hidden from our senses. That is, things that you and I cannot see or cannot touch, but that we need to experience. Can't see it, can't touch it, but need to experience. Hey, the kingdom of God is like that. For example, the kingdom of God is like that. Listen to me now. The kingdom of God is not visible to the eye. Can't see it. And you can't reach out and touch it. That is, if you were to say, you know what, I want to go and I want to go to a certain country. Maybe you say, you know what, I want to go to England. And so you get on a plane and you fly to England. You can see it and you can touch it. In any other nation in the world, you'll be able to see and touch. But the kingdom of God, ladies and gentlemen, is not visible at this point. It is not something that you and I can see and something that we can touch. But it is exactly what our Lord wants us to experience, and He tells us out, and that is by seeking. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 33, here's what He said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Hey, if there's one thing that humanity ought to be seeking, it ought to be a part of the kingdom, and it ought to be His righteousness. Listen, Jesus is telling us here that through prayer we can experience what the eye cannot see, nor which the hand can touch, by seeking in prayer, searching for that which is not visible. Now listen, that's what I do, and that is when I lose something, that means I can't see it. That means I can't touch it. If I was touching it, I wouldn't have to search for it. If I could see it, I wouldn't be looking for it. I would already see it. But if I can't see it and I can't touch it, it's beyond the realm of my senses, then I have to start searching for it. I might ask before I start searching. That is, I might say to my wife, "Have you seen this?" And she'll say, "No, I haven't seen it." And maybe I'll ask somebody else. Maybe I'll call one of you up and I said, "Have you seen this?" And they'll say, "No, I haven't seen it." Nobody has seen it. I ask, and then all of a sudden I realize that I can't see it, I can't touch it, and so I start searching for it. Even so it is, ladies and gentlemen. And that is that there are some things that you and I, we cannot even begin to imagine and see what it is that God wants to do. And so we begin to search. The idea is an intense form of praying. Searching for that, ladies and gentlemen, that we've never seen before. Searching for that which is beyond our senses, that we cannot put our hands on. You see, those who have all the answers, listen to me, those who have all the answers, they don't pray. They just don't pray. Those who only focus on what can be seen or touched don't pray. If that's all your life revolves around is what you can see with your eyes, touch with your hands, you won't pray much. But those whose hearts are searching for answers that have not yet been seen nor touched, now they're the ones who pray. The Bible commands us to seek. Psalm 105:4 says, "Seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face evermore." Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He's near." Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Amos 5:4 says, "For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me." Seek me. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what God's people ought to be doing. Not only asking, but also seeking. And then you might have noticed a third word, and that's the word knock. The word knock. Not only does he tell us to ask and not only to seek, but also to knock. Now listen, when we think of the word knock, we're thinking about a place that we need to enter into. Not only a problem that we need somebody to help us with, and ladies and gentlemen, not only something that is beyond us that we're searching for, but also a place that we need to enter into. The idea of knocking seems to be of desiring an entrance into somebody else's possession. In other words, if whenever I leave here in a little while, we're all going to get done here in a little while, not too long, and then we're going to go to our homes. And whenever I go to my house, I don't knock. Unless I forgot my key, and then I guess I'll knock. But listen to me now, whenever I go to somebody else's house, I knock. I don't just walk into somebody's house. I go to people's homes, and when I get up there to their home, instead of just walking in the door, instead of just opening it up and walking in. Now, there's some of you, I know you well enough, that that'd be okay with you. That wouldn't bother you a bit. But it might bother some people. If I just walked into the house, so what I do is I knock. And when I knock, I'm expressing my desire to enter into their possession and their realm. Well, there's a possession and a realm that we need to enter into. Obviously, when Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount, he's thinking about the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God. Amen. He's been telling about his kingdom and about their need to enter into it. But how do you enter into somebody else's kingdom? Jesus is saying, why don't you try knocking? That is, even after you're saved, though. Listen, you can enter into the presence of God and fellowship with him. You can enter into his realm. How do you do it, Pastor? By knocking. And the idea of knocking is the idea of prayer. In Hebrews chapter number 4, ladies and gentlemen, listen, let me remind you of what it says. The Bible says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Entering into his presence, into the very throne room of God. And we do that by knocking. And the idea of knocking is not literally to knock, but the idea is that I'm seeking to enter in through prayer. I'm not just saying prayers, but I want to enter into the presence of God. I want to draw near to him. I want to enter into all that God has for me, all the blessings that he has for me. I want to enter into all of that and experience that in my life. And so I need to knock. Standing there on the mountainside, where Jesus was preaching this Sermon on the Mount, ladies and gentlemen, were many people who did not sense their need, a need to enter into our Lord's kingdom or his presence. So instead of knocking, they were judging, criticizing, ignoring what he was saying. But there were a few who realized how much they needed to be a part of his kingdom. And so Jesus said, why don't you knock? So you can, why don't you cry out so that you can enter in? It's interesting that these three words are in the present tense. Ask, seek, and knock. Which sort of means this, and that is if you're not really into Greek and English and the tenses and different things like that, it means this, and that is that this is describing something that is ongoing and continuous. Not something that's been just done in the past or just done singularly, but something that is ongoing and continuous. This could rightly be translated, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. That's the idea. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says in 1 Chronicles 16:11 that you and I need to seek the Lord in his strength and seek his face continuously. He's commanding us to keep on praying, not just asking once, not just seeking for a little while and then stopping. Not just knocking once and then leaving, but keep on asking until you get an answer. And keep on seeking until you find. And keep on knocking until the door is opened. Keep on. If you go to somebody's house and you know they're there and you knock on the door and they don't answer, that's a good indication they don't want to talk to you. Or it is to me, anyway. And that happens a lot when you're knocking on doors, just kind of cold turkey, trying to invite people to church and talk to them and share the gospel with them. But I think sometimes it might happen to people we know, too. I don't know. But listen to me. I guarantee if you stay right there and just keep on knocking, if they're there, if you keep knocking and keep knocking and don't go away, eventually they'll open that door. Especially just knock louder and louder and louder. Just keep knocking. Give them a moment. They don't answer. Knock again. Stay there about an hour of knocking. Somebody eventually is going to come to the door. Sure will. And that's the idea here, ladies and gentlemen, is talking about those who keep on asking. They keep on asking. It's like when you call up someone and say, I have a question. Maybe it's an insurance company. And listen, you don't get an answer. Just keep calling. Every hour, just keep calling, keep calling, keep calling. Eventually, somebody is going to answer you to get you to quit calling. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Until the answer comes, until the door is open, ladies and gentlemen, until you find. You say, Pastor, is that biblical? Jesus told us to do that. Listen to the story that he told in Luke chapter number 11. In Luke chapter number 11, the Bible tells us beginning in verse number 5. It says, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. That is, you go to your friend's house, it's midnight. You're knocking on the door and you say, hey, I need 3 loaves of bread. For a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Listen, my buddy stopped by and I wasn't prepared for it. Just stopped by and I didn't have any food. And could you give me 3 loaves of bread? It's embarrassing that I don't have anything to give my friend. And he from within, that is the guy inside the house, is answering. Here's what he says. Trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise. Give thee. That is, what are you talking about? It's midnight, paraphrasing. It's midnight, my kids, everybody's in bed. And why are you bothering me at midnight? That is, go on back home and leave me alone. I'm not going to give up and give you some bread. In verse number 8, Jesus said, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend. Now, you think he would if he's his friend. You think he'd get up and get you some bread, but he's not going to do it. So he's not going to do it because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as much as he needeth. And then Jesus repeated what we read in the Sermon on the Mount. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Here's what he's saying. The guy inside the house, he's not going to open his door and give his friend 3 loaves of bread just because he's his friend. But if he stands there and keeps knocking at his door, after about an hour of knocking, he's going to open the door and give him the bread just to get him to stop knocking. And Jesus said this, and that's what you need to do. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking until the door is opened. You see, the kind of praying that our Lord is expecting here is praying that doesn't quit, but praying that keeps on praying. Ladies and gentlemen, our Lord exampled that in his life. In Luke 6:12, the Bible says about our Lord, it says that Jesus, paraphrasing, that Jesus prayed all night long, prayed through the night continuously, the night before he chose his disciples. That was not an isolated incident. He prayed and he continued praying. We see the example of it in the early church. They prayed continuously, the Bible says. They prayed without ceasing. They prayed and kept on praying. Praying was such an important part of their lives that, listen, they set aside the responsibilities of the apostles, that is, the responsibilities of caring for widows in Acts 6, so they could spend all of their time doing 2 things, and that is, teaching the Scriptures and praying. And they assigned the ministry to the widows, to other men, 7 other men in the church, so they could focus on praying. You say, why would they do that? Well, it's just a little while before that they all got together in a prayer meeting and they started praying and God shook the place in Acts 4:31 and filled them with the Holy Spirit and they shared the Word of God with boldness. They knew what God did when people started praying. You and I are called to pray without ceasing. Listen to Colossians 4:2, just one simple verse. Here's what it says, continue in prayer and watch or stay awake in the same with thanksgiving. Continuous praying. Praying without ceasing is what God has called us to. That's the idea here. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And notice with me what's going to happen if you'll pray. Get on the avenue of prayer. Don't get off of it. Hey, don't get on the avenue of prayer and then just get right back off. Don't turn around. Stay on the avenue of prayer and keep on going down this road. And the reason why is because, listen, you're about ready to receive what it is that God wants us to give you. You see, the Lord promises that those who keep on asking, it shall be given you. Listen, Jesus promises those who keep on seeking, you shall find. Jesus promises in Matthew 7 that those who keep on knocking, it shall be opened unto you. He's promising, ladies and gentlemen, He's promising us that if we'll keep on asking and if we'll keep on seeking and if we'll keep on knocking, that we'll be able to receive and experience what it is that God wants to give us, the blessings of God that He has provided for us. He explains this further in verse number 8. Listen to what he says. It says, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth." Matthew 7, 8. "And to him that shall be knocking, that knocketh, it shall be opened." And it will. You say, "I want to receive everything God has for me." Then pray. And keep on praying. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Listen, God has promised to provide blessings for us. And the avenue through which He wants to give them to us is through our prayer life. It is by praying. Now, the Lord gives us some illustrations of this, and let me look at them with you and I'll be done. He illustrates this in verse number 9. He says, "Oh, what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" The Lord asked three questions to illustrate his point. The first question is, in verse number 9, if a man's son comes to him and asks him for bread, will he give him a stone? Well, the answer is implied. Of course not. Of course he won't. A man's son, if he's hungry and he wants something to eat, you don't give him a rock, you give him food. Second question in verse number 10, if a man's son comes to him and asks him for fish, is he going to give him a snake? Of course not. I remember one time I was fishing with my dad and my brother. We were just little boys. And we were fished in the Illinois River. Fishing in the Illinois River is not the greatest thing to do, but we thought it was great. And we caught some fish once in a while. And once in a while, we caught something big enough to take home and worth eating. But I remember one time I was fishing along the banks of the Illinois River, close to where my dad worked at the time. And I caught what I thought was a fish. And as I was reeling it in, I found out there wasn't a fish at all. I found out that what I had was an eel that I'd caught. Now, the eel that I caught, ladies and gentlemen, looked like a snake to me. And my dad wasn't too proud of it either. And so he didn't let me touch it, and he took care of it. And I won't describe to you what he did when he took care of it, but he took care of that eel. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that I had a dad who loved me. And when I was trying to get a fish, and he was not about to allow me to interact with an eel or a snake. If a man's son comes to him and asks him for fish, is he going to give him a snake? Of course not. When a child is hungry and in need of food, all he has to do is ask. And his parents are going to provide for him. Make sure he has. Listen, all of you know that. You're that way. You are that way. I remember when I was growing up, I could still hear my dad saying it. And that is, we didn't have a lot. He said, "Listen, we may not have much, but I'll guarantee you we're going to have something to eat. We may not have much else, but we're going to have something to eat." Because he wanted to make sure his kids have something to eat. Now, the third question in verse number 11 is this. If you then, being evil, that is being corrupt and sinful, those of us who are sinful, we know how to give good gifts to our children. Well, we give them bread, not a stone. Fish, not a snake. And we're sinful, corrupt, fallen creatures. And when our children come to us and ask for something they need, like bread and fish, then we give it to them. How much more? Listen to these words. These three words are powerful. How much more? Think about it now. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? You see, if we as corrupt humans, if we want to provide for those that we love and care about, how much more does God? Now listen, He's got a lot He wants to give you. Some of it you've never seen, you've never touched. Some of it is even beyond what you know and can imagine right now. But if you'll get serious about walking with God in prayer, asking, seeking, and knocking, then God may give you some things that you never dreamed, never thought about, never imagined that He would provide for you. You say, Pastor, what is it? Well, if I knew that, we wouldn't have to seek and knock. But God knows. Listen, He wants to bless you. And one of the avenues through which He brings you to that point where He can bless you is the avenue of prayer. You see, after you get on the avenue of salvation, you're driving down Salvation's Road. Say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. Well, that means you have access to God, as I preached about a few weeks ago. That means you can get in His presence and you can pray. There's an avenue called prayer that you can get on. And if you'll get on that avenue and you'll start praying, you say, I'm so thankful I have access to God. Well, if you're thankful, then start praying. Start walking with God in prayer. Start spending time with God in prayer. Listen to me now. Set aside some time for an unrushed time. A prayer. I'm not talking about just praying on the run. Now listen, I do that too. But I'm not talking about just praying on the run. I'm not just talking about praying as you go, even though those are good things. But I'm talking about you and I having a time set aside in our schedule to get alone with God in some unrushed time of prayer. You say, Pastor, I don't know where and when I would find that time. Well, if you need me to sit down with your schedule, I would, but I guarantee you that I can just say a couple of things, and that is just turn off your phone, turn off your iPad, turn off your television, and get alone with God and pray. If you get to going down that road, of prayer, start walking with God like that regularly and consistently, it's not going to be long till you're going to begin to see the blessings that He had intended for you that you couldn't see or imagine before you started going down the avenue of prayer. Call unto me, Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Things that you couldn't have known otherwise, couldn't have imagined otherwise. I'll show it to you. Let's pray. Father, we love You and thank You for Your word and Your people and what You're saying to us. God, I pray, Father, that You'd operate upon our hearts. Father, I pray that You'd teach us how to walk with You in prayer and, Father, get surrendered to You and God, to make You the priority, walking with You the priority of our life, more important than the world's entertainment. God, more important, Father, than, God, the daily chores, just getting alone with You and walking with You and experiencing Your presence in prayer. Teach us how to do that. God, You want to bless us. And God, this is the avenue, the means by which we can experience those blessings. So thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for being here tonight.